the book of Luke and chapter number 12. We will return, the good Lord willing. Of course, next week we have special services. And then the week after that, I'll be out of town and be speaking in Illinois, be preaching three times in Illinois. So that's the first weekend in April. But then after that, we'll return to our Sunday evening series in the book of Judges. And we're just beginning to study the life of Samson. We'll begin to study the life of Samson when I return in April. But for this evening, we sort of turn things around. We have been on Sunday morning studying the parables, and tonight we'll study a parable. We've been doing it on Sunday mornings, but now we'll do it this evening. I remind you that parables are stories with intent. They were spoken at a specific time for a specific reason by our Lord to address a certain behavior or conduct or a certain situation that was going on at that moment. And parables need to be read in context. Context is a matter of fact, the further we get into this study, the more important to me context becomes. I begin to look at it and see that if you divorce the parable from its context, there's no telling where you might end up. But so often, the context is just as important as the parable itself. The setting or what's going on around the illustration is vastly important. And that's true also in this evening's parable. In Luke chapter 12, we begin reading with verse number 13. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This evening, the parable of the rich fool. This is what it's commonly called. This is what we will address it as this evening, the parable of the rich fool. Years ago, John D. Rockefeller passed away. He was the world's first billionaire. At one time, he was the richest man in the world. After his death, a reporter asked someone close to the family, an associate of the family, they said, I wonder how much he left behind. To which the associate replied, All of it. And so will we all.
Right.
All of it. 1 Timothy 6 verse 7 says, We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Job even said, Naked came I into this world, and when I die, I'll be stripped of it all when I go to the grave.
Amen.
Our life here on earth is but a vapor, a mist. You ever spray air freshener into the air? You see that mist there? You can smell its aroma, but within a few minutes, it's gone. It's dissipated. Such is our life. We are here, but for a few days, and then ushered off into eternity. In our text this evening, Christ warns about the dangers of greed and desiring financial wealth while remaining spiritually poor. We must be cautious not to become covetous and only think of earthly success or our own fiscal prosperity. And may God challenge us to see material things for what they really are, and to use our monetary resources wisely. You will notice in this text that Christ is preaching. If you have a red letter Bible, you see in chapter 12, Christ is busy teaching. He's preaching when all of a sudden he is interrupted. It is almost as if I was standing here preaching and then all of a sudden someone stood up and said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. I've got something to say." So notice with me first this evening from our text an interruption. Look at verse 13. And one of the company, what company? An innumerable, see the beginning of the beginning of chapter 12, an innumerable multitude of people were there. So much that they're stepping all over each other. So many people are gathered together that they stampeding one another. And as Christ is preaching, he's interrupted by this man, one unnamed man in the audience, who cries out to Jesus and says, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." He calls Jesus Master, or Teacher, or Rabbi. "Speak to my brother." And it is possible that, you know, this took place. This is part of the context. It's possible that the brother was in the audience with him. And Jesus is teaching. This man interrupts him and he says, "Master, teacher, rabbi, tell my brother to rightly divide the inheritance with me." Probably we understand that their father, these two brothers, their father had recently died, and this one brother didn't feel like he was getting his own due, his own fair share. Perhaps he's the younger brother and he's not happy with the elder brother receiving a double portion. We do not know exactly the circumstances, but we know that Christ knew this man's heart. And greedily, he interrupts our Lord and demands that he gets his fair share. Some of the most angry, and I mean downright ugly arguments I've ever been a witness to has been over dividing an inheritance among people. And I wish that wasn't true, but I've seen it that way. Some of the most ugly, I mean good people gone bad kind of stuff over an inheritance. And here we see this man who interrupts Jesus and says, "I want my due. Master, teacher, rabbi, tell my brother." In fact, the language of it is tell him right now. Yes. Tell him right now that I want my portion. I want my due. And so in reply to him, verses 14 and 15, we have an admonition. First an interruption, now an admonition from our Lord. And Jesus' response to this man, it's far from what he wanted, I can tell you that. That man, he was really wanting the Lord to smack his brother down and that he could get his hands on the inheritance, at least what he thought he was due of it. But Jesus' response was far from what he wanted to hear. Jesus replies to him in verse 14, and he said unto him, "Man," he almost like we say, "Man, who you think I am? Who you think you are? Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Now, while it is true that if you are a teacher or a rabbi, as Jesus was, You would have the authority to settle issues like this. It was commonplace that a Jewish rabbi or teacher would arbitrate in family matters just like this one, resolve issues just like this. The rabbis, these Jewish elders, would arbitrate, adjudicate. I have a hard time with that word. I was trying to avoid it. Adjudicate in these matters. But in this situation, the judge of all the earth will not be drawn into this petty squabble. While it is true that Christ will one day judge all things, His ministry here was not to arbitrate petty disputes over a family inheritance. But more than that, the Lord knew well that there was a greater issue at hand over who gets what. The greatest issue was that this man's heart was full of greed. That was the larger issue. This man's supposed mistreatment was just a sidebar. Jesus will address the need of his heart. And that is that he realizes that he is full of covetousness. And so in this admonition back to him, verse 15 says, take heed. Be careful. Watch out. Be on guard. Take heed and beware. There is a repetition of language there because, listen, the desire for wealth can be incredibly deceptive. It can be easily misleading. And if we're not careful, all of us can succumb to an overinflated desire to be wealthy. And so Jesus strongly says, take heed and beware. A double negative given here, saying, you be careful. Don't be covetous. Look at this. Take heed, verse 15, and beware of covetousness or of greed. This is simply an inordinate or overwhelming desire for wealth or possessions. Now let me throw this in and then we'll move forward. There's nothing wrong with having wealth and possessions. The trouble is that many times and most of the time when people have wealth and possessions, the wealth and possessions have them rather than them having or the individual having it, it has them. There's nothing wrong with this, but Christ is saying to you, you be careful, you be cautious, you beware that you don't be consumed with an inordinate desire for riches. Paul speaks in Timothy and says that they who will be rich, who desire to be rich, lead themselves into a snare and a temptation of the devil. Because most people can't handle money. They get it and they trust it rather than trusting in God. This is yet another parable warning of the dangers, listen, of the love of money. Folks, money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. All kinds of evil. And I just remind you because somebody's going to say, preacher, you're up talking about money again. I'm just preaching the parables. And Jesus taught a lot about money in the parables because He knows our nature so well. Jesus spoke more about heaven than He did. I'm sorry, He spoke more about money than He did about heaven and hell combined. And so if I'm going to follow what He says, I'm going to teach what He taught. And this is another parable warning us about that innate desire, that natural yearning within us to have money and riches and wealth and fame and fortune. And listen to this. You don't have to have money to love money. You can be dirt poor and still love money. Greedy folk don't just live in nice houses. listen to this warning. I would like to impress this on your mind to close of verse 15. A man's life, notice this word, for a man's life consisteth not. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Do you get that? As a matter of fact, the close of verse 15 and verse 21 sort of serve as bookends around the parable itself. A proverb, a parable, and then a second proverb really is what you have right here. Life is not defined by the abundance of the things that we possess. That's not what life is made of. Now, I know that's contrary to popular opinion. Ask your average young person today, what do you want from life? And most of them will say three things. Money, money, and money. It may come in different forms or shapes. But you ask your average young person today, what do you want? I want wealth. I want prestige. I want to have a big house. I want to have a nice car. I want to have material possession. That's our nature. Again, not that it's wrong to have those things, but an inordinate affection, an overwhelming yearning to do this that would lead you into all kinds of sin. That's what greed and covetousness is, that you'll rob from others or from God to have this. That's what makes it sinful. Life does not consist in how big your portfolio is, how many investment properties you have, how many beach houses and what size they are, your fancy cars or leased land or rental homes. Life is not, life must not be focused on the acquisition and the keeping of material things. That's the close of verse 15. A man's life, get that, your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you have. Now that flies in the face of our nature, but we need to learn it. Life is not focused on what kind of car you drive, how big your house is. You brought nothing into this world, you're going to carry nothing out of this world. Your life, my life, must not, especially as confessed Christians, must not be centered on things, on material possessions. And you say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say you don't have a whole lot or I don't have a whole lot or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a whole lot. Life must not be centered around material wealth. And to further clarify this, Jesus then gives this parable. Thirdly, then, the illustration. The illustration. Now, I want you to note with me, and I went in my Bible and I circled this. Every time this rich man uses the word, I am my. And if you do that, you're going to have a lot of circles on your Bible. You're going to have a bunch of little tiny circles on your Bible. Let me read this to you and emphasize to you, I am my. Verse 16 says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And now we begin to see this man's thoughts, this certain rich man's thoughts. In verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. 11 times in those short little verses right there, I and my. You want to know what's on somebody's heart? Listen to the words that come out of their mouth. I said it at the nursing home this afternoon, and I'll say it again. You want to know what's in somebody's heart? Just listen to what they talk about. What somebody talks about the most is what's in their heart. You think, preacher, are you going crazy? No, listen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what Jesus said. It's not some kind of crazy revelation I'm standing up here with. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. You want to know what's in somebody's heart? Listen to what they talk about a lot. If they talk about politics a lot, guess what's down here? Politics. They talk about sports or whatever it is. That's what's in here. You know what was in here in this man? I am I. That's what he thought. He thought about himself and his goods. And that's primarily, and we might could even say exclusively what he thought about. This man, if you'll notice, was already rich. Did you see that at the close of verse 16? The ground of a certain rich man. He was already a rich man before he ever had a good year. His ground, his lands, his farms, they had a great year. They brought forth plentifully. Today's language, we might say, the stock market boomed, his investments paid out, his portfolio doubled. In this day, we say this man's fields had a huge yield. He owned a lot of property and he planted a lot of crops and they came in full. And in fact, they came in so much, this man has a dilemma on his hands. What am I going to do? Verse 17. What shall I do? I don't have enough room to bestow all my stuff. We had such a good year, I don't even have enough room to cram it all in. I don't have enough space to bring in all the harvest in. What am I going to do? And he brainstorms. He's searching for a solution and all of a sudden he has an epiphany. A plan comes to it. Here's what I'll do. You know it. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Without a moment's thought for anybody else. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. Rather than, listen to this, giving away what he didn't need. Or maybe even we don't go as far as to say he would give away what he didn't need. What if he just sold it at half price? I mean, wouldn't that be a huge help to some people? Maybe you don't give it to them and say, I'll help you, I'll sell it to you half price. None of that. He did not think about another living soul. Glaringly absent from this parable is the introduction of anybody else besides this old man. Rather than helping those in need, he decides, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my little barns and I'll build bigger barns. I need a larger warehouse. I need more cubic footage, more square footage. And maybe, just maybe, as we're all prone to do, we can justify it. This man could say, well, you know, I'm going to have to tear down these barns and build more, so I'm actually helping the economy. I'm creating jobs. You know, we can all justify our behavior. There is a glowing, stark absence of a single thought about anyone besides himself in this parable. As a matter of fact, when he wants to talk to somebody else about this great strategy, you know who he talks to? He talks to himself. And I will, verse 19, I will say to my soul, I'm going to pull down my barns, I'll build greater barns, there I'll bestow my fruits and my goods. And in verse 19, I'll say to my soul, soul, he wants to talk to somebody about this, I'll talk to myself about this. Man, you got it made now. Really, you got it made. Sit back and take it easy. It's time for a little R&R. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Go party. Go
celebrate. You were rich.
I should say it this way.
I'm rich. He's thinking, I'm rich. Now I'm more rich. I've got everything I need for years to come. I got so much, I don't even know where to put all of it. Just relax and take it easy. Enjoy life. You've got plenty for the years ahead. But as Jesus would often do in the parables, He puts in a twist. Things seem to be clicking along real good for this certain rich man. His plans, his lands, his dreams, his future. And then verse 20 rolls to us. But God. Those are some of the most comforting or condemning words in all the Bible. But God. But God said unto him. This man been talking to himself, but now God's talking to him. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. God shows up. God had not been in all his thoughts. But little did he know that that night, he had an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die. All of us have a divine appointment with death, and you're not going to miss it, and I'm not going to miss it. This man hadn't thought about it, but his appointment was that night. Listen to verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now God is talking. And God says to this man, you fool. I've told y'all before, when I was growing up, the first preacher I had, he put the fear of God in me when it come to calling people a fool. I might call you everything else under the sun, but I wouldn't call you a fool. But listen, when God calls you a fool, you are a fool indeed. How frightening for God's definition of you to be a fool. Not a sheep, not a child, not a friend, but a fool. How horribly frightening this is. Well could our Lord speak to this man and say, depart from me, I never knew you. You fool. Listen, I don't think we ought to be in the business of running around calling people fools. But God knows the heart of every man. He can call somebody a fool. And you die without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a fool. Now that's strong preaching, but it needs to be said. I don't care how much you have on this planet. You can have more than Rockefeller had. You can have more than Bill Gates had. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. And you've not been saved, you've not been born again, you are a poor fool.
Amen.
If you are not trusting in Him, then you don't have anything except dirty rags to present to God. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul?
Right.
It would do well for men of God to stand and preach boldly and say, if you don't know Christ, you are living like a fool.
Amen.
This man who had so much left it all. This night your soul is required. Death came and snatched him away. How much did this certain rich man leave behind? All of it. He brought nothing into this world, and he'd take nothing out of this world. He could say like Job, naked came I from my mother's womb, and I'll be stripped of it all when I leave here. And so the Lord asked a question that's to search our hearts at the close of verse 20. When death comes, listen to this question. Then whose shall those things be that thou hast provided? King James language for who's going to get all that stuff when you die?
Amen.
I mean, there's the question. You're going to die. You're going to leave it all here. They can hook up a U-Haul to the hearse if they want to, but you won't bring it all behind. You won't bring it with you. You'll leave it all behind. I read these stories about kings and queens and pharaohs. When they die, they would bury them with food and all these things, clothing and stuff. And when they open up their casket, guess what? It's all still laying right there. This certain rich man died and left it all. He didn't have what was most important, a relationship with God Almighty. And so the Lord asked this question, who's going to get all your stuff? And I would just say, it'd be good for you to stop and ask and answer that question to your own heart. Who will get all my stuff when I'm gone? And how will it be used? Fourthly, finally, the application. This is the second bookend, the second proverb. Verse 15, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. There's one bookend. There's one proverb. Verse 21, here's the closing application, the last proverb. So is he. Listen to this. Jesus says, so is he. Everyone that does not love the Lord their God, who does not cling to the cross, has not been born again. Everyone that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is just like this rich fool. That's what verse 21. So is he. So is everyone that accumulates possessions here on earth. And his name is in lights and buildings are named after him. And it will take days for the procession of people to visit him while he lies in state. Yet if he dies without being rich toward God, he is no better off than this rich fool. So is he. Just like this rich man is everyone that has earthly treasure but is not rich toward God. Folks, having things is not bad. God has blessed some people with wealth. Job was a wealthy man. Abraham, a wealthy man. Solomon, Boaz, Joseph of Arimathea were wealthy people. But these men not only had material wealth, they had spiritual wealth. They did not only lay up treasure for themselves, they also laid up treasure toward God, toward heaven, toward eternity. The Bible never forbids having things. Listen, very practically, take care of your family. Provide the needs of your family. In fact, the Lord says the parents ought to lay up for the children. Now, I don't think that means you ought to lay up enough that they can be slouches all their life. And they go blow up all their money and wasted things. But provide for your own. Take care of yourself. Think about your future. Be smart. But amongst all that, don't ignore your spiritual needs. Don't ignore. Don't get so focused on the material things that you never think about the spiritual. This man, this parable was given in response to a greedy man who said, I want my due. I didn't get what's coming to me. Jesus said to him, man, you need to listen. You're living like a fool. You're only thinking about this life. You're not thinking about the world that is to come. Quit fighting with your brother over some goofy inheritance, and start thinking about the true riches, and that is a relationship with God.
Amen.
If God has blessed you with an overabundance, don't open up another safe deposit box. Use it for His kingdom. Some of you have, in this very building, I have to throw this in. Some of you, and I say this with great humility and love, some of you in this building have been very generous to me and my family, and I thank you for it. And you know what I believe? I believe you're living out the teaching of this parable. You're not just putting your money in a account somewhere to be hoarded up or kept up when you don't even need it. You're investing it back in the kingdom of God so that it can be used to further the gospel message. You don't need to overindulge. You don't need to lay up treasure. Only lay up treasure where moth and rust can corrupt and steal. Be rich toward God. Consider your mortality. That's something this man never did. He didn't think. If you'll notice, there's a couple of things this man never thought about. He never thought about anybody else, and he never thought about life after this. This parable of this rich man. He never thought about anybody else. Listen, if God blesses you with material things, He has done so that you can be a blessing to others.
Amen.
He didn't bless you so that you could turn around and hoard it all up. I told you the other night, we're not supposed to be like the Dead Sea. Supposed to be more like the Sea of Galilee. It flows in and needs to flow back out. The Dead Sea, everything flows in, never goes anywhere. God's given it to you to be a steward, to be a help to others. Think about others. This man never thought about others. And then he never thought about eternity. He never thought about his own soul. Never thought about his need for redemption. Listen to these closing words. There is no bigger fool than he who does not prepare for the life to come. Let me say that again. There is no bigger fool than he who does not prepare for the life to come. No matter how much he acquires, if he is not in Christ, he is the poorest of men. You know, sometimes as a preacher, I don't know what to say or not say. And don't get mad at me. I was going to use Brother Frank as an illustration, then I seen him in here tonight. Most of you all know Frank's been blessed. You know how hard it is to preach a message like he is with Frank Shell sitting right there? That's all right. He could be sitting on an island somewhere drinking Mai Tais, but he's chose to invest what God's given him back into this community and God's kingdom. Now, I'm not trying to kiss up or suck up. You want to know what this parable is about? Look at people who have eternity in mind, who are using the resources that God has given them, not just to live. This man could be driving a Lexus and he drives Illumina. He could be living in a mansion. And it's not. I've delivered his mail. It's not bad, but he's not living in a mansion. He could be wearing Ralph Lauren, but instead he's got a nice... Don't get mad at him, because he don't want these accolades, and I'm not trying to kiss his hiney. I'm not. But here's somebody that God has blessed, and he's one of the few people that has money, but money doesn't have him. You want to know one of the reasons why God doesn't give some people a lot of money? They can't handle it. It would ruin them spiritually. In this parable, Christ warns us, don't be so earthly minded, so greedy, so covetous that all you think about is the here and now and never think about eternity or others. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself. You want to drive a Lexus? I don't care to drive a Lexus. But Toyota will get you there just the same. Don't be bashing Toyotas. I got 250,000 miles on mine. Think about eternity. How much did Rockefeller leave behind? All of it. You know what you're going to leave behind? All of it.